quack, 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 quack,
because they have to be. Yeah. Luke, me and Mike have known each other for like, I don't know, like 20 years. We've known each other.
Close enough.
Like, yeah, it's like longer than that. And like, this is the best year I've ever seen him. And I went to his graduation. And this is the best year I've ever seen him.
Oh, I rock it now, so it's okay.
There you go. All right. There you go. I fixed your name. And now it says Mike.
I think this Fair is enough. The... I was realizing this, that this is, because UK hit lockdown again like a couple of weeks ago, this is, I've made you probably can't tell, but I made a heck of a deal as to suddenly, hang on, people are going to see me now. So like I've had a shave, I tried to brush my hair before realizing it was too long, that instead I'm just making it look like it's deliberately scruffy, and we're all upset.
All right, let's get started, because we'll get banged out in like an hour. I as I told Luke, by the way, like I turned off the TV, because I didn't turn off the TV, my head would be like this. Inauguration coverage.
Someone's talking. So.
Well, I just turned off the TV, so I'll turn it back on after we're done. Biden just signed a bunch of papers, so that's where we are now. So.
I just found myself getting, even though it was all masked up, I found myself just getting increasingly annoyed at how many people were all close together, and that's...
It was also, everyone was tested beforehand, from what I read, so... It was,
okay, well, that's a little... That's well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, everyone was tested, apparently.
As someone just channel surfing, it's yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Mike, if you didn't realize, Luke is in the UK, so that's why.
Well, we went over that in the chat anyway,
yeah.
So...
Make sure, yeah. All right. Let's do this. I got all my notes up. There's gonna be a lot to talk about here. So,
do you need me to record local, by the way?
No, you're good. You're good. With a lot of us. Lovely. Here. Yes, I made everyone's life easier this year. Don't worry about it. All right. In 3, 2. Hello and welcome back to D5 the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake. Let me bring on my guests. First of all, our first mega all-star of the season, one of my oldest friends, Mike Donovan. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Blake. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I just realized you're actually our second mega all-star, because Tierney was also on this season already. So you and Tierney are our mega all-stars for the season.
Oh, there we go. Well, you know, makes me blush a little. What can I say?
Yeah. So for those who don't know, these two did the MMX at Home special. So that's why they're listed as mega all-stars for this season. Second, our other guest all the way from the UK. It's interesting because I'm in Wisconsin, Mike's in Jersey, and our other host is in the UK, making his D5 debut. My partner on the MMX Awards back in December from Christmas, actually, in 2 minutes about time, Luke Allen. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And It's a lovely surprise whenever people introduce my plugs. It's nice. I'm so used to trying to explain who I am. So it's good, and it's great fun to be on here. It's been a crazy couple of months since I agreed to this in the first place. So it's like this suddenly appeared back up, and it was like, oh yeah.
If you don't know this, and you're hearing this like months after we record it, I set this up to people like 2 months before we recorded the episode.
Way more organized than my messaging like 2 days before we record, being like, I guess dropped out, who's in?
This is the most organized season I've ever done, like by far the most organized I've ever been. for any season of any show I've ever done. So Mike knows he's been a part of every season of every show I've ever done. And he's the most
one of the biggest guests we had on for 2 minutes about time, I sent him the wrong minutes. and we had to, whilst we were recording, just send him the right minutes. And it's a shame. I'll say who the guest was. I have no idea how well known he is in the States. It was Darren Brown, the illusionist magician. He's big here in the UK. Nothing to do with About Time, apart from the fact that he shouted our show out on Twitter at one day, and I was like, whoa, that's a bit strange why Darren Brown listens to the show. But
that sounds
he came on and got the wrong minutes.
That sounds like when we had Mary Gigliotti on Clerk's Minute, and she looked at the wrong minutes and then like, oh crap, I'm going to rewind it. I'll watch it while we're talking. Oops. My bad. So
yeah, all I kind of want now is, like, part of me just regrets not just shifting the episodes around and finding out what his actual notes were for those minutes. Because, like...
Oh, just for him.
he could have prepared. And I feel like the guest we had on the week before, like, it was all backlogged. I feel like the guest we had on the week before would have been willing to come back and have done another set. But either way, I think... We acknowledged it in the episode, but I think Darren Brown did a pretty good job. When someone comes on your show, well, messages before the show and says, by the way, I once had Rachel McAdams around for dinner, but didn't know who she was. They're instantly a great guest.
Oh, there you go. All right. Let's talk Mighty Ducks. First of all, before I go to Mike, because Mike next day for a long time, Luke, you told me before I messaged you, you've never watched a Mighty Ducks movie. And you have since watched E3. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this movie in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of weeks ago, I started the first one, and then something came up, and I never got around to finishing it, and then it suddenly hit today, and I was like, I should watch them, but I can't watch all three of them, so I'll just watch the one we're talking about. And I liked it way more than I thought. Like, considering I'm really excited to see the first ones, because on the basis that sequels are normally worse, this is the third film was about the standard I expected the first would be.
Wow.
So
that's hype.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Mike,
I need to check what I logged it on Letterboxd at.
Fair enough.
On three out of five, I think I gave it.
So yeah, it works. For the third movie of this trilogy, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Mike, your history with this movie, and they've been on for the last two. I mean, D3 is one of those movies that I think we've all watched around the same time because for that age thing we talk about all the time.
Yeah, my only thing with D3 is I definitely didn't see D3 nearly as many times that I had seen the original two. You know, it's kind of like the off-putted, like, bastard child. It's the third one. It's the last one. I didn't remember it being so good because I wound up rewatching the whole thing just so I can get, like, some context going into, like, the minutes that we're covering. But, you know, as a kid, I don't remember it being that great. Like, I remember loving the first one. Second one was pretty good. And the third one was like, eh, but I've only seen it like once prior to this. And I forgot how good the third one really actually is when you put them all together.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, we're jumping to school. We're not fighting for America anymore. We're in a weird, weird case in this movie. I mean, we've been talking about that the whole run.
It's almost like this one should have been the second one, and the second one should have been the third. Like, to get that hierarchy up.
You're not the only one to say that. You're not the only one. Like, people have been saying that since we started the show. So, let's get into our minutes. We start with Charlie being the best pasty he can be. Talking.
Hey, that was my first thoughts when I put the film on. I was like, hold up, is that Pacey? which I think is already giving myself more credit because Dawson's Creek was before my time, like, considerably.
Yeah, I was
before
like,
my time.
Okay, sorry, my son just walked in the door. Sorry about that. And edit point. All right, sorry. Yeah, Dawson's Creek is actually one of my favorite shows, so I've been talking about that a lot. So.
I started watching through it a couple of years ago. I don't think I got all the way through, but I really enjoyed it. I don't know why
Netflix.
I didn't get all the way through.
Oh, what's on Netflix?
But it's, yeah, it's, well, and annoyingly, I bought the full box set, so I've got the DVDs, but now that's on Netflix, I guess I don't need them. But I really enjoyed it, and it took me a minute to twig, because he's only 2 years younger, but he looks considerably younger than... At least how I recall
what's
Pacey.
Funny,
it was kind of I recognize him, but is it?
If you watch the other movies, what's funny about it is he goes through this massive like growth spurt between the second and third movies. He looks like a completely different person after the second movie. Like, he looks so different. Like, it's hysterical how different he looks. So, like I said, here's Charlie being the best Pacey he can be, and he's being romantic, and he's trying to talk up himself. I must note, he does not look 14. He does not look 14 at all.
No, I checked. He was 18 and she was 16, at least when the film came out.
Wow. That's impressive, actually.
So she's my age and he's 2 years older than me.
Oh, there you go. So we go through this whole thing and he starts talking about stuff that he likes and music. But he goes and says, he starts naming bands. And I'm like, I have to write this stuff down because I have to do my due diligence of looking up these bands. And Mike, you're going to laugh because you and me are on the same, we're on the same era because we grew up as your brother who listened to rock music. So a lot of this is right up our alley. First, he mentions Pantera.
Yeah.
So I looked at Pantera at this time period. And Far Behind Driven came out in 94. Vulgar Display of Power came out in 92. And that's the album that has Walk on it.
So that's the big one.
Everybody knows. Did you know that that album is on the list of 1001 albums you must hear before you die?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. It's a great album. It's a classic.
Yeah. Sorry, trying to get a show done. Yay. This is the most edited episode it's going to be ever. All right. So, other albums that are in this genre that I wrote down. The Black Crowes, Shake Your Moneymaker. Metallica, the Black Album, obviously. Nirvana, never mind. Pearl Jam, 10. Prodigy, the music for the Jilted Generation. Green Day, Dookie, and Garbage is self-titled. Mike, that's a hell of a group of albums out there.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those where obviously I've heard at least a song or two off of, like, every album, and, I mean, actually, if before the album Dookie, of course, that was, like, one of, like, Green Day's, like, biggest, like, albums, especially for that time, like, that's basically just a plethora of 90s music right there.
Yeah, it really is. Luke, you have no idea what we're talking about, do you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm smiling and nodding. I should. Like, I know people who are into that kind of era of music. And now I'm not quite sure what type of music I like. The only concert I've been to, it was 90s band, actually. The only concert I've ever been to was to see The Corrs, which I really enjoy. But I don't know. I've got such a kind of weird... Most of the songs I like are just soundtracks from films I like.
Fair enough.
Ron Sexsmith is probably the one musician I do listen to out of enjoyment. Also, to plug, Ron Sexsmith was on 2 Minutes About Time. So just
of course he was. Shameless plug.
He also helped get my school noticed by Elton John. Of course. Well, how did I forget that? That's my high school story for the end of this episode. Right.
Damn it. Save that. Wow. I'll look at that story later. So, Charlie's doing his best here. He's talking about music. He's talking about pizza. He's just going through this whole thing. I'm like, what are you doing, Charlie? She's obviously trying to ignore you. We were having a discussion earlier in the run here. Charlie's talking about how she's a snob. She's acting like a snob. Is Charlie coming off like a snob here? Because he thinks he's bigger than he is. Luke, what do you think?
I'm not sure because I have definitely watched way too many problematic rom-coms in my time. But I found it nice and sweet, because I feel like it's clearly a put on snobbery. Like he's doing an act in a way where I liked it, but I also could see how someone taking the wrong reading of it would completely fail.
Mike, what do you think?
I mean, I didn't really get that from the moment. I think he's just trying to just strike up a conversation. It didn't need to be about anything. It was just like how I would felt like the character in that moment was just trying to like talk about anything that they might have in common, just trying to get some kind of like some base groundwork for conversation, you know. Who doesn't like some kind of music, one thing or another? Or, you know, like who doesn't like most people like one form of pizza? Like there's something for everyone. So like he picked pretty broad topics. And
I mean, I wouldn't really count like pizza as like a snob food. It'd be different if he was like, do you like some fancy hors d'oeuvres or like something like that? Like that might be like a little different. That's different.
That's
like,
funny.
You have some Grey Poupon, right? That's probably around that time. Like that I could see.
Yeah, there's a good level of self-awareness about it.
Like, yeah.
He's making a point about the fact that he's really struggling to find some sort of thing to connect on. But also, I feel like here their mutual struggle to find the connection actually is what connects them in the end. And I think that's quite sweet.
I agree with you guys. I was just bringing up a Kemp in earlier episodes, just to tie it all together. But so he brings up the fact that she doesn't like hockey. And she goes and says she's never been to a game, which I actually believe that. I'm just being honest. I totally believe that. But I have issues. I have issues here. She says that she's never heard of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Okay, we're in Minnesota. There's this team in their city, the Team USA. The NHL names a team in canon, in the movie, after this team. You would know who they are. I'm sorry, you know who they are. Oh, man, unless you're really in a bubble. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'd imagine hockey is much bigger there than it is here. And I, as someone who despises sports, do know the name of our local hockey team.
There you go. That makes my point. Makes my point exactly.
But in her defense, the hockey team at this point, if the movie came out in 96, the hockey team was only like 3 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe if he had said kind of other bigger team, you know, for someone who doesn't follow the sport, maybe they didn't hear about it the last like 3 years, you know, in her defense.
Even if it's something she's heard about, it doesn't have to be something she's acknowledged. Like, it could have been a thing that someone brings up and she never thinks about again.
It could have been on the news and or in the paper, and she ignored it. One of those
because
things.
Because if she doesn't care about the sports, then there's no reason to kind of take that information in.
And Minnesota doesn't have a team at this point either, so it's even less likely she's going to hear about like a local team playing the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
True. That's a good point. Very good point. So I did look up the Ducks at this time. As Mike said, they were hitting into their third season. I did notice, by the way, that this movie came out the day before the 96-97 season started. I wonder if that was on purpose. Of course, Disney would do that. Real fast, he's referring to the Mighty Ducks. The season before this movie came out, they were actually fourth in the Pacific Division, 78 points, Mike. They actually missed the playoffs because of a tiebreaker with the Jets. The year
I feel like it's a very British thing, the fact that literally the first time I hear any mention of the Mighty Ducks, it was just the acknowledgement of the film. Like, I wasn't even certain they were a real team. So whether that's my own naivety or whether that is just that no one talks about it here, I don't know.
In your defense, it's going to be my segue whenever I'm going to pop in. With your age, they stopped being the Mighty Ducks, I believe, in the early 2000s. So,
yeah,
2005. So now they're just the Ducks.
Yeah, that was the year after I was born. So I'm
For you, it's only the Ducks. You don't know anything else but the Ducks. And actually, Mike, it was the lockout season. It was right after the lockout.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Sense. I remember
it was around there sometime.
Right after the lockout year. By the way, you'll laugh at this, Mike. This season was 96-97. The season started when the movie came out. They opened their season 0-1-2, but they had back-to-back 6-6 ties with the Montreal and Colorado. But they did finish second in the division. They lost in the semifinals to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Detroit Red Wings. And Paul Kariya, who we'll hear from in this movie later on, he won the Lady Bing, our favorite award, Mike, for most gentlemanly player.
Lady player.
Lady Bing. One of our favorite trophies of all time. So we'll hear more from Paul Kariya later in the movie. By the way, Luke, we joked about the Lady Bing. The Lady Bing literally goes to the person who gets the least amount of penalties and is the nicest player on the ice. That's literally what the trophy's for. That's why we love making fun of it.
In a sport that you smash people's heads into the wall, the nicest guy gets an award.
So that's why we make fun of that award every single year on the Blake and Sal Show. We do our NHL award previews every year. So he invites her to the game. on Friday. We'll get to the game. We'll get to the game. Trust me, that's entertaining in its own right.
The game is 3 minutes of smiling and nodding for me. It's just I don't know what's going on, but there we go.
I got there. So I do find it funny that he is trying so hard to get her to talk to him and to hang out with him that he reveals his allergy to nuts, which cracked me up. I'm like, what are you doing?
To be honest, I've been there. The attempt to find any connection whatsoever, and sometimes it works ish. But yeah,
fair enough. So then he mentions REM. This is not as detailed as my deep dive on Pantera, but REM. 1992, Automatic for People, which had Everybody Hurts and Man of the Moon on the album that came out. And 94 with Monster with What the Freak with the Kenneth. I was hoping to bring up It's the End of the World as We Know It, but I had to come out to 96. So I thought that was earlier. So there you go. Oh, ties in with Independence Day, Mike. That's why. Around the same time as Independence Day, that song came out. So,
The End of the World. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It came out like a year before Independence Day. So, okay. I didn't know that. So, then we have John Woo, who I did. I see Luke's like, ooh, movie talk. I can talk movies. John Woo movies. I was trying to figure out what the hell he's referencing because I didn't really know John Woo movies. That's not my genre. So, I looked it up and I'm like, oh, okay. In this, he's actually referencing a bunch of movies that were big time in Hong Kong. And, the movies that I reference here, there's a whole bunch. There's a whole filmography that I didn't write down. I wrote down a few. The movies I'm referencing, 1986, Better Tomorrow, which won the Hong Kong Film Award for Best Film. The Killer, 89, won an award for Best Actor. And then there is Bullet in the Head, Hard Boiled, and Hard Target, all movies that came out before this movie. Luke, do you have any word on John Woo?
Face Off is the only John Woo movie I know, I think. And that was the year after this, but... Face Off is a fun movie. I like it. It's not particularly good, but it's fun. it's like you can enjoy it. You can take it in if you ignore the fact that Nick Cage and John Travolta have completely different body shapes.
Hey, you know what? This is the world where we all got to enjoy twins. So keep that in mind. So that's a ridiculous concept.
That's very valid.
And ironically, this is the part where she's like, "Let's keep talking." So they get in the bus. I this is one of my favorite moments, is Charlie's, "Yes, I finally got her celebration," which is a fantastic, like, teenage moment I've ever seen one.
So to link to the film of one of my shows, there is a moment in Love Actually. There's a couple, actually, but the main one I think of in Love Actually is there's Jack and Judy, Martin Freeman and Joanna Page. And... just after their first kiss, which is funny in itself, considering that the storyline involves them being stand-ins for sex scenes. So you see them do a lot more before the first kiss. But the moment of their first kiss, she leaves and he like jumps up in the air and goes, "Aha!" And it puts such a smile to my face every time I see it. It's brilliant. And so whenever I see kind of any celebration like that, that's what I think. And I feel like even just moments where I've had conversations with girls I like that have gone well, I've had like the mini kind of, whether I've done it actually or whether I've just felt like I'm doing it, I don't know, but yeah.
My comment.
My only thought is like, so where does it go like on the bus? Like, cause right after the bus, it goes right to the game. So like, there's a huge, like, is he even supposed to get on the bus? Like, is he just getting on to talk to her? Like,
that's a good question. What is he supposed to get on the bus? And when did he get home? And what did his mom say? I'd love to know. Like, what was that conversation?
I mean, mom's probably going to cheer him on. Like, I met this girl. Charlie's like, mom. Oh, you're talking to a girl? Yeah.
You're talking to somebody that's not on your team? That's a shock.
Yeah. She's probably doing the happy celebration, too, when Charlie goes to his room. Yes.
And you see, while he was celebrating, I was like, oh no, it's away from the fun teen romance and now to sports.
this is where the fun begins for hockey side. But first of all, I have to bring up Josh. He's going to be our hockey announcer for the rest of the movie. And for the first time we have a hockey announcer, that's not someone that works for the LA Kings. This is the first time. Because, Luke, the first two seasons, we actually had the LA Kings announcer during the games. For the game, first two movies. This one, we have Josh, who I swear, was in the second movie, but I don't know where. I gotta figure this out because he's not in the credits. Like, who is this guy, and why do I remember him so much?
Oh yeah, I'm getting more and more angered by smaller parts and not being credited.
Yeah,
because I've recently come in touch with this woman who is the UK's most famous extra, but her IMDb hardly has anything listed. So I'm just watching stuff, and I'm like, I have to WhatsApp her. I'm like, is that you? And to be honest, most of the time it is. She's in everything. So shout out to Nanette Finch.
I just see Luke sitting there with paper, writing things down and updating her IMDb every single movie he watches.
I was watching The Inbetweeners the other day, and I was just like, I recognize her, but it was like such a brief thing. And yeah, so shout out to Nanette Finch, who is a lovely, lovely woman who has been in over 1,000 films and TV shows, from like Harry Potter to Derek to The Inbetweeners. To, wow. Yeah.
There you go.
You guarantee if you see her picture of her face, she's one of the people you go, I've seen you somewhere.
Well, we met Josh earlier in the film. I just didn't want to bring him up until now because he is going to be with us for the rest of the movie. Benjamin Stansberry, he was Benjamin Harvey in Captain Ron in 1990, but he is more well-known to be Brighton Sheffield in The Nanny from 1993 to 1999. I never watched The Nanny, but I guarantee I saw him in commercials, which is probably why I recognize him. I know my grandma loved that show, so I guarantee it was something to do with that.
I watched a lot of that show because when it went on like syndication, it was like, all right, the Saturday cartoon, et cetera, the weekday cartoons after school are over. Well, let's just watch random sitcoms. And The Nanny was like almost always on one channel or another. So I didn't know that actually. I didn't recognize him because it's been a while since I saw it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, though that's that. I was like, oh, that explains why everyone knows who this is, because he's from The Nanny. That explains a lot. So
I'm just having to Google what The Nanny was, because that
was a TV show. It was big in the 90s. It was huge in the 90s.
He plays a preppy little boy in that too. So I guess it's actually kind of fitting since they're at like that prep school.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm losing all of like my pop culture credentials today. I need to drag you on with the next British film I do and just.
We're talking about stuff that's like literally happened before you were born. I think that's the problem here.
You get leeway. If anything, you're making us feel old. So,
dude, I'm almost 40. I'm almost 40. Yeah. So keep that in mind. I am the oldest one sitting here right now.
I was the youngest MXM host until I brought a friend on to co-host Christmas Actually, and she's 2 days younger than me, and that really annoyed me. It was like,
did it to yourself. You did it to yourself.
Yeah, I know, and I did. But the thing was, I didn't realize I was the youngest host until I'd already done that. It was like, so I tried to do as many guest spots like the weeks before our first episode came out so I could just introduce myself as the youngest MXM host.
But, you know, it's funny. We were doing MX Awards, and Luke did one of the awards. I made sure that Tabitha said the youngest host on MMX. Sure, she said that, so that it's on the permanent record for that award show. I made sure of it.
At least there's a record of it.
Yeah, it's on permanent record on the MMX award. Yep. Over on the link on the bottom, so people can watch it. The show did win Best Weekly Show, and Luke's show won Best 2 out of 3 minute Show, the two or more minute show. So there you go.
Yeah, it was great. I'm trying to figure out at the moment on my IMDb as to whether there's a way of actually listing that as an award. And I'll fiddle.
Maybe.
As someone trying to build up my IMDb as a filmmaker, any awards, even if it's not to do with film, will look good.
Hey, so. Well, it works. And the funniest part was, like, we were doing a live watching of the show with people, right? We did not realize when we put the awards show together, I didn't realize this, that both of our awards were back-to-back. I didn't realize this. I didn't realize this. So then it looked like we were like we intentionally like stole awards. It looked like we were the awards right in the middle of the show.
Sorry, everyone. I mean, we're just going to take the rest of the awards.
It's not as bad as like Scott Tofty when he like won an award and then was straight up presenting for the next one and then he won another one.
Yeah, that happened. You know what the funniest part about it? Because we got a whole bunch of stuff in there and we edited it together. And Luke's the editor, but I literally stayed checking it out. But I didn't think about it when I was organizing it. That that Scott Tofty would be accepting an award for TMNT Minute and then presenting an award next, or vice versa.
Yeah, it was straight after. It was like, and now the winner of the award. It was just like, oh, it's the Scott Tofty show.
Okay, let's get back to the movie. I do find the fact that Josh here actually refers to them as the Mighty Ducks, even though they're the Eden Hall Warriors. So that's something I do appreciate. Just trick shout out to I've been massive soft place for bands, for like the good old fashioned school bands. Like, I love this stuff, marching bands, and I'm a big sucker for that. So as someone who lives in Wisconsin and has the Badger Band, and it's one of the best bands in the world. So
this is all so American. It's just, we got none of this.
Really? I don't have this kind of stuff.
I don't think we even have cheerleaders. I don't think. Wow. Or not as far. I mean, I was never a sports person, but we didn't have like any big halls as far as I'm aware. Well, I could be getting it all wrong, but like nothing to this scale where it was like everyone knew about a kind of high school or college games. People, they just happen and then people get on with their lives.
Luke, I have to just, again, and as Mike said, in your defense, me and Mike grew up in a very small town that sports was like everything. Like, we grew up in that kind of town, and like my football games were like attended by massive alumni and things like that at all times. So like that's like normal scale for me. Like,
yeah, our secondary school, it was the music department. That was the big thing. So, like, our school shows, like, they were kind of, I think they did pretty well with the public and the press, and, like, people would come to that. Annoyingly, the biggest role I had in one of the school shows was just due to start happening the week that lockdown first hit. Oh, so I never got to have my role.
That sucks.
Mm. I found it quite funny as well, because I think I'm like one of, or the only Christian or like religious person in there, and they cast me as Satan, which was interesting. But that was so fun, and I had like it was a jukebox musical, so I had to sing Crocodile Rock and Fire. It's a fascinating jukebox musical. It involves like the Disco Inferno, it was called, and it involves the devil disguising himself as a nightclub owner. It's got hints of I think it's based on the same source material as Bedazzled. It's got a very kind of similar style to that. But I was so excited for this. And I think we are still slightly, even though I do not attend that school anymore, I'm in college. I think we're still talking about whether we can do the show in some way, shape or form, because which I'd like, because I think even though it's been nearly a year, hasn't it? I feel like a couple of weekend rehearsals and it would just come like straight back into our brains.
All right.
Who knows?
I just looked at the air and I said, this is a part of the movie where they actually, the second time they bring up the fact that they better win or they were kicked out of the school. I don't know. I did not realize this storyline like popped up so many times. Like I didn't realize it now looking back. Is this like weird, Mike, that the storyline is just kind of like hanging out in the background of this whole movie? Like they can get it at any time.
I think because they need to have like, there's got to be some kind of like conflict other than, you know, spoiler alerts, the older players on the team. But I think they just need to have some kind of conflict throughout the movie. But I mean, that's not exactly how scholarships work, or else there'd be a lot of like football players in college getting kicked out, or like, you know, losing's just the name of the game. But they needed to have some kind of like problem, I guess, for the team to overcome together.
I think my one issue was it wasn't present enough for that to be the main plot either. Like it was kind of I think the fact it was hanging around in the background, but like it didn't go central enough. That was kind of the only issue I had, where it's like suddenly these stakes seem to be, you'd be reminded of in the middle of nowhere, and then for the rest of it was kind of nice and fun. But it's a third film in a Disney franchise. We don't expect great.
Yeah, because I know it gets brought up at the very beginning. It gets brought up here. It gets brought up after this game, and then we don't hear about it again for like an hour. Like, it doesn't come up at all for
I've done that as a screenwriter, though, where I've had an idea and then I've kind of decided about halfway through that I wanted to get rid of it. And for some reason, random traces of it are still in the script and in the final film that I don't realize until afterwards. Like, oh, hang on. That didn't go anywhere. I think I'm better at it now. I do a lot of proofreading, but yeah.
All right. So, Mike, I have to ask this as someone who's watched all three of these films like I have. It is made very clear at the beginning of this movie that Charlie, it was named a captain by Gordon Bombay. When the hell did that happen? Because I don't remember that happening.
I mean, I guess as him being like the main character in most of the movies, he would be considered like captain-esque, but I don't remember anyone really wearing a C in any of these movies. Like, I don't know. He wasn't even the best player. I mean, he wasn't even really that great. I think this is the movie where he plays the best compared to everyone else on the team, but like in the other movies, like in the first movie, he wasn't really that great a player. Like,
I know, compared to his teammates. But he's not the best.
Yeah.
It's a difference. It's a big difference. Because it even says he's been this team captain since they played in Pictures 5. No, he has not. He has not been the captain at all.
As someone just seeing this one, that as a standalone concept made sense, but it seems stupid as a thing to just throw in without, yeah. So strange. And actually, to talk about weirdness with the franchise, I know you said it had been brought up before. Do you know why the titles are different in the UK? Because it's so stupid.
I don't know why.
It really confused me.
What's the title in the UK?
So the first one's called The Mighty Ducks Are the Champions. Then D2 is called The Mighty Ducks. And then D3 is called D3, The Mighty Ducks. Yeah. So I ordered the box set to prepare. Here we go. I can actually do this on the video. I ordered the box set to prepare. And I was getting so confused because I was like, why is The Mighty Ducks listed as the second film? And I don't know. There we go.
I've had this discussion with Niall many times. Niall McGowan, who will be on the show. I've had discussion with him many times. And this is why the D5 name of this show has confused him so much. Because he did not understand why I was doing this kind of the show, because D2 is not the name of the second movie to him. It was very confusing. Yeah. Like, it made no sense.
But like, I just don't get why they felt that necessary. Like, there are some film title changeovers that I never understand. Or like, one thing I noticed when we were doing 2 Minutes About Time was that in the UK, the logo for About Time is in lowercase, and in America it's in capital letters. And it's like, these are active decisions they would have to have made.
Yeah.
Why?
It makes sense. The funny part about the first movie, and I brought this up many times, it spoils the whole movie. Like, the title of the movie spoils the entire movie. Like, Mighty Ducks Are Champions spoils it. Because that kind
of... Is it like, with the first one, was it they didn't think we'd know who the Mighty Ducks are, so they had to express that they're a team? Is that what the Our Champions suggests?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a better name anyway.
I feel like Mighty Ducks the Champions sounds like it would be talking about the second movie. Yes. Like, the Mighty Ducks, and then the Mighty Ducks 2, the Mighty Ducks Are the Champions. Like, that's why
it confused me so much. It was like, because it also just seems stupid for the second film to just be a shortened version of the first film's title. Like, it just, yeah, that's just so weird.
We're with you. It doesn't make any sense. There's no sense.
If anyone involved in promotion or publicity or whatever of 1990s Disney movies is listening, then please email me, luke@lukeallen.co.uk, with a proper explanation, because I got really confused and I could have used that time for better stuff.
You know what's funny is, a lot of people didn't know this until me and Niall talked about it, but because I was promoting the show and I'm putting movie posters on the Instagram page at D5 Mighty Ducks, I was putting up movie posters promoting the movie, and people were like, wait, what's that poster? Why did it say champions on the poster? It makes no sense. Like, that, I put that up there on purpose because people are like, what? What is that?
I never know it.
Yeah,
it's another film that I like that's got a different title in America. If this ends up a long tangent, then cut it, obviously. The Boat That Rocked, love that movie. As a Richard Curtis fan, great film. It's just called Pirate Radio in America.
What?
it's about pirate radio stations on like a boat, but The Boat That Rocked is so much a better title.
It really is, actually.
Way better.
Yeah. I've had the same issue with like books being turned into films. There's a film, a British comedy film called Maybe Baby, based on a Ben Elton book. And it's a film about a couple that are trying to conceive a child and are unable and looking at all these other methods. And it's an interesting thing. But the novel is called Inconceivable. And that's such a good title. And I don't get why you change it to Maybe Baby.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's bring it back over here. Before we get into the hockey on the ice, I actually need to look something up. I needed to know if the Blake Bears were a real team or were just made up for this. Like the weirdness of D2 having countries that weren't actually hockey teams. Like that was a big thing in D2 for me. But Blake Bears, I found out I did a little, I spent way too much time doing a deep dive on Minnesota high school sports the other day. I did way too much research on this. But the notes I came up with are this. The freshman Bears, this is a real school and a real team. Blake is a school in St. Paul. And the private school, they've been around since 1900. Apparently, they have about 1,400 students per class. This game we're watching was actually filmed on a set at their school.
Huh.
I didn't know.
At school?
Yeah, it was filmed at their school. Their history is actually really interesting in hockey. They actually won the state high school challenge cup for all sports in the state of Minnesota. In 05, 07, 2009, 2012, and through 15, meaning they're one of the best in the entire state when it comes to athletics. Mm. Also, notable athletes that came out. I have some athletes that came out of their school. Jim Warden, he was on the 1976 USA Winter Olympic team. Not the Miracle team, the team before the Miracle team. Ken Patterson, he was drafted by the Colorado Avalanche in 2007, but he never actually played in the league. JT Wyman, I think I recognize this name. He was an NHL player. He played for Montreal and Tampa between 2009 and 2012. And this is the name. I knew this one. Dani Cantonetti, she played on the 2008 Winter Olympic hockey team for Team USA. So those are people that I recognize that name. I was like, I know that name. So I just think the fact they had a real school for this, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that going into this movie. So the issue I have with this game is this game gets out of hand quickly. It is the most unrealistic hockey game I've seen, and that says a lot about this franchise. A lot about this franchise if this is the most unrealistic hockey game you're going to see. Mike, how is this possible? How is it possible to score this many goals this quickly with no defense whatsoever?
I mean, basically, I wrote down, in my little notes that it's basically watching, the Harlem Globetrotters, but as a hockey team. I know they're trying to put all of their special moves from the previous movies. It's basically a montage homage to the first two movies. Every little thing they did creatively in the first two movies to score a goal, they literally did that in the first two periods of this game.
Yeah, pretty much. I do like Julie in the back though being bored because there's no one playing her. But I have issues with that too. Don't you really? I know it's the first game. And I do want to get the action in, but aren't you kind of enjoying the fact you don't have to really do anything for a while? Could you enjoy that a little bit? I don't know. It's weird to me.
No. As a goalie, actually, you want to take shots because it helps you stay in the game and warmed up, as opposed to if you're just standing there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, if there's a lot of stoppages in play, you kind of lose your focus because there's nothing really going on. So a goaltender, I think, actually gets a lot better the more shots you put on him. Obviously, as long as they're not letting him in.
Yeah, you don't wanna do that.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, I just find it funny that the Blake goalie let in all these goals and still played in the third period. But that's weird to me.
That's a mean coach to leave a goalie in that long after 9 goals given up in 2 periods.
I understand it. Goldberg does make a good joke here. I had a reference. He brings up Melrose Place, which cracked me up. Because those who don't know Melrose Place, that was a show that was on Fox from 92 to 99. It was the secondary show to Now in 2-0 at the time. And the funny part is the first thing I thought of when I heard that was a Seinfeld joke where Jerry and George both admit to loving Melrose Place right in the middle of an episode. They start talking about their love of Melrose Place. So the show, by the way, was redone in 2006, but nobody cared. So there you go. Nobody cared about that show. Luke, you got anything else in your notes about the actual hockey going on here?
No, I didn't understand half of what was going on. I was just like, ooh, moving pictures.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's weird how, like, the first half of this was like, let's do this whole thing, and then the second half is hockey. We got hockey in the second half.
Well, that's why you have me and him on. So, like, he's got, like, the teen romance part of it, and I get the hockey part of it.
True. By the way, I do love the fact this is now the third time we have a player jumping in the air in this movie. And it's Luis jumping over the net after scoring because he's still, despite the fact he learned how to stop at the end of the last movie, he still can't stop. I don't understand the logic here.
with what you were saying, Mike, about kind of the split, it was quite funny because I watched the film all the way through today. I didn't look at what my minutes were until I'd seen the film. And so I sat down to watch the minutes. And I was just like, oh, this is good. I've got minutes I can actually, like, talk about and understand. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then literally pretty much exactly halfway through, it was like, okay, no, never mind.
No, it was great casting on Blake's part. I got to give him credit. Like, he brought us on for what we were good at.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I'm definitely not good at teen romance. I'm just good at observing it. That sounded way creepier than I meant that to come.
You're allowed. You're a teenager. You can get away with that line.
I feel observing it doesn't. To those who don't know, I'm obsessed with Richard Curtis rom-coms. So, like, that kind of thing is. Yeah.
That's funny. That's very funny. Real quick, one last note on the ice play. Luis, when he jumped, rushes to the boards, and Russ checks on him, and he said, are you okay? And his response is, I love our team. That cracked me up. That made me laugh really hard. So, yeah, we end this, actually, it's 4-0 when we leave us, and we'll check in with this game. It's 5-0. I'm sorry, I forgot about Dwayne's. By the way, what did you think of Dwayne at the very end, Luke? The Cowboy stuff at the very, very end of these minutes.
I wasn't quite sure what I thought.
I figured from someone who had to see the second movie, that made absolutely no sense.
I was just everything I don't understand, I'm just like, it's probably an American thing. And I'll just...
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Well, that is where we end our 5 minutes. So before we get on with things and plugs, the question I'm asking your guests is, what is the craziest or funniest high school movie story you have? Before I go to Mike, I need to hear this Elton John thing. Luke, what is this Elton John thing you brought up before?
Okay, yeah. What I can't believe is the fact that I forgot this, because I've brought this up on a lot of podcasts because it's one of my favorite stories, which is, and it actually technically happened once I'd left secondary school. This was only like a few months back, about May or June last year. We had Ron Sexsmith on 2 Minutes About Time, which was brilliant. And I was just chatting with him after the show, like over on like his Twitter, I think. We were just DMing, talking about different stuff. And just casually, I was like, oh, here's some of the stuff that my school friends are doing. Like, I'm in the school choir, but I wasn't in this video. And it was a video of them singing I'm Still Standing. And next thing I know, I get a message through saying, oh, by the way, I've just sent it to Elton, and he thinks it's brilliant. And it was just like, what? Okay. And he was like, have you got an email address for the school? And next thing I know, Elton John sent us like a video message of like how much he loved the school's cover of I'm Still Standing. He's invited us all as guests to his next gig whenever that happens. And then like my school was suddenly featured in like Rolling Stone and NME and all these other things about like Elton John praises school. Annoyingly, none of them mentioned that it started with my podcast, which was like, oh, that would have been great publicity. But it's fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to the possibility of seeing Elton in a gig and meeting him as a guest or whatever. I can't believe I forgot that story. But yeah, shout out to Ron Sexsmith. Massive shout out to Ron Sexsmith. He's a lovely guy and probably my favorite artist at the moment. He's got that lovely kind of emotional feel of music where it's happy if you're feeling happy while you're listening to it, or it's sad if you're feeling sad. It instantly reflects your emotions. And he does a lovely song called Gold in Them Hills that's featured in About Time. And I've never heard a song so beautiful as that. So
there you go. I did say something, though. Luke, you had to worry about press, but you were on a BBC radio at one time talking about your show. So
I've done BBC radio a few times now because it's for my county. And I was interviewed once about my film, the one film I did, and the guy basically said to me, he was like, let me know whenever you've got anything else on. So I've been on like five or six times.
There you go.
Like, it's just local radio, but it's on, like, the iPod.
Whatever. So, no, it's on the internet. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is on the internet. And shout out to Mark Elliott as well, then, the guy who did that lovely, lovely radio presenter.
Me and Mike, like I said earlier, we grew up in the same hometown. We hang out a lot, so I'd love to know what he has up his sleeve for the stories. Okay, Mike, go.
I don't actually have, like, a great one. I mean, I can't go up after that anyway. Like, that's a that's like, oh, hey, I've been on, like, radio, and I got Elton John to say something. It's like, So honestly, I got nothing. I didn't really have any, like, crazy, like, high school moments. I mean, I got stupid moments where I, like, got in trouble, but, like, for, like, stupid crap.
Oh, enough time's passed. You can try one of those. Enough time's passed.
I mean, basically, there was this one time. I was actually still in Garfield at the time because I moved from that hometown right after my freshman year. And me and my friends were playing with, like, a carton of milk. But we were, all right, we're talking about a hockey movie, so it works. We're basically smacking it back and forth, trying to knock it off the table so it would, like, and that would be how we scored a goal. Okay. So we'd smack it at the other one when we tried to block it. It was in the lunchroom at the high school.
Here we go.
And one time, I hit it a little hard. Well, now, after hitting these cardboard, like, milk boxes, like, so many times, they start to soften up. And I hit it hard where it hits the ground and literally explodes all over the lunchroom floor, and the disciplinarian that was standing there watching it. All over the bottom of his pants, on his shoes, and everything. Was Mr. Mucha there when you were there?
Coach Mucha. Yep, that was my coach.
Oh, yeah. Well, I poured chocolate milk on his pants. So you can imagine how he reacted then.
Okay. For those who don't know this, because we went to the same high school for a while, he says Mucha, Coach Mucha is my football coach. And he had the nicest guy on the planet as long as you don't piss him off.
Or pour chocolate milk on his pants.
Yes. or being the – I was part of the disciplinary office at one time. I was actually in charge of, like, going through the late slips. And I would, like, I was cutting class for a little bit, and I may or not have been pulling out my sheet so I didn't get in trouble. And he caught on to this. He was not happy with me. Oh my god! Oh, I guess, you know. Also, when I was in, I did seven my senior year. I had two free periods. I was so ahead of class in my senior year, and I was in the main office, and I used to take the sheets and, like, go up to my friend's classes and take them out of class just to hang out and say the office needs them. Maybe we'd hang out for a bit and then they go back to class.
Can I throw in a second high school story, or are we short of time? Because my favorite memory, I'm just going to say secondary school because it's just roughly the same thing, but I know I'm going to stumble at some point, is I made a short film. How long was it now? About a year and a half ago. And I had told my school, I'd made it over the summer, so it was slightly longer than a year and a half ago. I'm losing track of time, but I'd made a short film. Really? And I told my school about it, and they were like, oh, you know, we should do some sort of screening. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And next thing I know, that kind of blew up way bigger, and we're all red carpet, black tie, like, industry wow. Guests came along. Like, because I just started messaging different people who I was aware of and, like, spoken to once from, like, the film industry. So there was this actor who'd been in Doctor Who came. There was this BAFTA-nominated director who came.
Oh, my God.
A Hollywood stunt guy who came. And it was just like, you're all here to see this movie I've made. And it was just a 20-minute short film. But I think that's possibly, like, one of the best days of my life. It was amazing.
Wow.
I'll see if I can – I realize it probably won't come up on the chat, but I'll see if I'll see if I can post a picture in the chat. And
oh my god, that's it. Fantastic. I say it like, what the hell goes on at your school?
Honestly, my school didn't have the best reputation, but you came along, have apparently. So much love for them because they didn't have to do any of that, and they didn't charge me. They asked if I wanted a donation pot to go towards, like, my next films. And I was like, no, the least I can do is have a pot for the school. Like, wow. The fact that you do this. I'll send one picture. You can't see the red.
I'll put it up. We'll put it up in the, I think in there. I'll put it up in the So you send it my email. I'll put it up for everybody to see when the show goes
on. I'll send a couple. But yeah, that was incredible. So surreal. Because it was December 2019, it was also one of the last like social events I've been to. So it's hard for anything to hold up to that, really.
No, it's funny, Mike. We're proud of NFL players coming out. Modern thing. He's got red carpets going on in his school. We had NFL players.
Yeah, one of your teammates just became a assistant coach. I think.
Yes,
of my team.
Yes, I know.
That's a
big deal.
I'm kind of not scared, but kind of wondering. Now I'm not in that secondary school anymore, what I'm going to do for when my next film comes out. Because this project I'm doing now, which I'm sure I'll plug in the plugs bit, is way bigger scale to the last thing. This has blown way out of control to what I thought it would be. And I don't know how we're going to get like a screening done because I don't have money. And I don't know if my college would... would do it. I don't know.
All right. Well, speaking of which, let's get the plugs. Mike, you're with me over in the Blake and Sal Show. So I'll quickly say Blake and Sal Show, theblakeandsalshow.com, every single Friday, right after the show at 9 o'clock on 9 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock Eastern Time at all podcast platforms you hear this show. And you can also hear the show. I've been saying a different place every time. Go to Spotify. You're listening to music, go stream this show. And Blake and Sal Show, both shows, go to Spotify. All right. Luke, go for it. Plugs.
Okay, so this is one which I'm pretty sure I'll be allowed to say at this point in May. If not, I'll have messaged you urgently, been like, hey, I haven't announced it yet. But I have co-written and co-directed, well, not co-directed yet, that's where the plug comes in. I have co-written a surrealist comedy short with the plan of co-directing it with a friend of mine in August, if COVID restrictions allow. And it has blown way bigger than I thought. It's a surrealist comedy set in a charity shop. It's only about a 5-minute film. But our cast is including Ewan McIntosh, who played Keith in the UK version of The Office. He's also exec producing the film for us. We've got a guy called Alex McQueen, who was Neil's dad in The Inbetweeners, and a load of other stuff. Wow. I'm going to say a couple of the other names here, but can you... Right. My plug is that by this point, we'll have our Indiegogo page. So if anyone is in a financial position where they're willing or able to support, I understand completely that people might not be, times are horrible at the moment. But if anyone wants to see a surrealist comedy in the style of Monty Python or the Abrams and Zucker type of thing, set in a charity shop or thrift store, I should convert to the Americanisms. This is a big project that started very, very small as just during lockdown one, I think me and my friend who I went to secondary or high school with, we were just chatting and was like, should we write a script? And next thing we know, it's kind of, my motto has always been, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I haven't needed to ask recently. It's like, I've asked a couple of people and then suddenly these people are putting me in touch with people they know and they same. And suddenly it's like, whoa, do these people really know that it's 2 16-year-olds making a film? Because it's grown massive. And so that's my big plug. If anyone is able to support that, or even if you can't give financially and you're willing to support, if you're able to just share a tweet, you know, link our stuff, that would be really, really appreciated. Other than that, 2 minutes about time, Christmas actually, all that stuff I do. That'll be on all good podcast platforms and the Indiegogo page, along with links to my social media and all films and podcasts and any newspaper articles I'm involved in, any radio interviews are all over at lukeallen.co.uk.
I'll put the links in the bottom of the description for people listening on the podcast.
Brilliant, thank you.
Links. Thank you, Luke, and thank you, Mike, for coming on. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a great time.
Yes. So let me wrap things up here. Next week, we will have a Blake and Sal Show crossover event because Sal and Mark will both be here on next week's show. And it'll be the three of us doing this show, which is going to be weird because we'll probably be recording right after the Blake and Sal Show. So it's going to be a weird day of recording for us. So that'll be in next week's show. So till then, thank you all for listening to this. And I hope you enjoy this show. See you next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.